Now to Pakistan, where a torrential monsoon season accelerated by climate change has led to catastrophic flooding. One third of the country, an area the size of Colorado, is underwater. At least 1,100 people are now dead, and untold numbers have lost everything. Here now is Nick Schifrin with the top Pakistani official trying to manage the climate crisis.
The toll is staggering. 1 million homes damaged or destroyed. 2 million acres of agricultural land submerged, and 33 million people affected. To discuss the enormity of what confronts Pakistan, we turn to Sherry Rahman, Pakistan's Minister of Climate Change. Sherry Rahman, welcome back to the NewsHour. Just explain the crisis and the size of the calamity.
The scale of the crisis is unprecedented. It's of a magnitude never seen before in living history in Pakistan. It's affecting more than 33 million people, which is the size of a small country. Right now, as we speak, more than one third of Pakistan is underwater, more than one third.
Many people say that they have not received any assistance from either the government or from NGOs. How difficult is it to reach everyone?
We have not been able to reach people, at least in the first week of the deluge, and it's been 8 weeks of unrelenting rain, which Pakistan has never seen. And the way to rescue people in floods and disasters is always our helicopter cover, and they have just not been able to take off with the kind of rain and complete cloudbursts of water coming down. So yes, there's been a complete humanitarian disaster. The water cover is so heavy and high in Sindh and Balochistan that we've had the Pakistan Navy inside, inland in the country. Now the helis are operating and they're picking up people from rooftops, literally. So it's been very traumatic seeing bridges collapse in the north, seeing people isolated and marooned on rooftops. We've had like over 160 bridges just collapse and the water just ripped through it. It's a real climate disaster of epic proportions.
As you were just pointing out, many bridges have been destroyed, including bridges that Pakistan built higher after they were destroyed a decade ago during those floods. In retrospect, do you believe the government did enough after those floods in order to prepare for floods like you're facing today?
Well, I mean, where are you supposed to build the flags? On a skyscraper? I'm not aware of that. Climate, the climate, decade of our reckoning is here and now, Nick. It's not 2050. That tipping point is absolutely visible to us. And I think many thresholds are being crossed while global leaders dither over which emissions are good and which are not. It's time to make decisions. Otherwise, it won't just be Pakistan. Our glaciers were also melting. By the way, this year we've had three times as many glacial melt episodes added to the volume of water gushing down south. And Sindh and Balochistan is actually bracing for the floods from the north. I really don't know how we will absorb this amount of rushing and water, overstanding water right now.
Pakistan contributes less than 1% of global emissions. Do you believe that Pakistan and other countries like it are the victims of climate change mostly caused by richer countries?
I don't like to use the term victimhood. I'm a woman, so we like to ascribe some agency to ourselves. It's a clear case of loss and damage reparations, because this is the carbon footprint of other countries that have gotten rich on the back of fossil fuels. Really, we're paying the price for it because we are on that front line of a geographical location. We are uniquely positioned. We have the highest number of glaciers outside the polar region. We have a huge river running through the country. We have the largest man-made irrigation system in the world. Honestly, the bargain made between the global south and north hasn't worked out as expected. We would love to switch to renewables just for our own import bills to be reduced, and to be cleaner, to have cleaner fuel. But just that transition, I've had it calculated, would cost us $101 billion without the transmission line changes. Climate resilience costs money. And right now, all your money basically is going into relief.
Pakistan's had a close partnership with the United States for many years. It is also a close partner of Beijing. What is your message to the world's two largest emitters today?
Well, yes, the two largest emitters really should stop and think. There's a new normal now in the world. It's not a good one, it's a dystopic one. And so whatever goes down in one country will eventually impact on the other. But I've had a good conversation with Senator John Kerry, who's your climate czar, and we're perfectly committed to working together. And I believe that if we all put our resources to the task of chipping away at joint problems, we can meet the needs gap.
After the last floods from a decade ago, Pakistan created hydropower projects, some of which have come under criticism. So do you believe that unplanned infrastructure projects have actually exacerbated the current crisis?
I'm not aware of which hydro project has exacerbated any condition. Having said that, certainly some water architectural solutions, the entire architecture of our water hydrology, perhaps needs a reset now to meet the kind of climate challenge we're seeing. But wrapping one's head around that level of resource mobilization, I'll be honest, I can say to you that, oh, we'll build back better. I'm not sure we have the resources. Climate resilience is expensive business. We may maximum go to agriculture that is a little bit drought resistant. For instance, our entire crop cover in Sindh, 90% of it certainly is gone for the year.
And so does that mean that this is not just a problem of today, that this is going to have an effect for many years to come?
I think we've got ourselves a very large task as well as a large ask from development partners. Now, if they are not able to meet it, then I don't know how we'll be able to service a large population which has lost most of its employment. The next crop is also wiped out because there's too much standing water and the soil is not going to be ready for what is known as the Rabi or the winter planting season. We do have a crisis.
Sherry Rahman, Pakistan's climate minister, thank you very much.